Welcome to Scale with Virtual Assistants, where we explore how to get support from virtual assistants so that you can grow your business and have a life.
So today I'm joined by Frances Cosway, who is the owner of White Pebbles Interiors. She reckons life is too short to live in a home that you don't love. Welcome, Frances.
Hi, Carmen. I love that intro on life's too short to live in a home you don't love. I totally agree with it every day.
And you'll be proud of me, Frances, because I've decided to this year's the year I'm going to do some tweaks around my home too. So I'll be learning from you. So, so Frances, interior designer, I think you are our only client who's an interior designer. So through this conversation, I'd love to learn a bit about your business and you know, how Ruby, your virtual assistant, involves in that. But let's go back to the start when we started chatting. What, about a year ago now, where was your business at when we started talking about virtual assistants?
So where was my business at? Goodness me, you're really making me step back in time here. I suppose I was at a point where, you know, you've mentioned Ruby as my virtual assistant. I actually like to call her my digital marketing assistant. Yep. And I was ready to get a new one. I'd been really badly burnt, actually, if I'm really honest. And I was definitely looking for someone that could really support me in a really good and honest way, and also to have an agency that was able to really support me in doing that too. So really around all the back end, all our marketing back end is where I'm a designer. Yes, I've got a marketing background. That's what I studied and practiced for 20 years, but I am not a technical person, so having someone that's my right-hand man as my technical person is exactly the support that I need. I've needed it for a long time. I've had it for a long time, and my business can't exist without it.
Beautiful. So it sounds like you set the strategy and Ruby implements it.
Pretty much, yes. Having said that, though, she's really involved in that. In terms of, you know, there's lots of things that, you know, I'm a, dare I say it, a mature lady. So having someone that is younger as well to put their, you know, he's a very Aussie term, but their two bobs worth in of, you know, what's happening with socials, and this is how, like, you know, reels and stories was just so far out of my comfort zone. And so I love having her be able to share things with me as well, and especially because she's a lot savvier than me from a technology perspective.
Yeah.
So yes, I'll have the overarching strategy, but absolutely we'll be asking her for what are your thoughts on this, or do you think this is, you know, a good use of our time, or we try lots of things. We're definitely out there to try lots of different things, but this is the year for me of less shiny things. So we're working off the premise of less is more and really getting into the depths of different things as well. So yes, I set the strategy, but she's also involved in that too, I'd like to think so anyway.
Beautiful. And like you said, like the marketing is her focus, so she spends her time thinking about marketing, whereas you're, you know, juggling a lot of other things as well. And I know she has nerdy marketing chats with Charles, my marketing manager, so you know, they sort of bounce off each other a little bit, I think.
Yeah, and look, to her credit, Ruby's been with me now since August 2022. And to her credit, you know, I recruited on cultural fit, and recruited on, you know, someone that, you know, looked like they were going to have a lot of initiative, wanted to learn. So really she didn't have any experience in the things that I needed her to do. She had no knowledge of any of the systems that we were using, CRMs, you know, social media, scheduling platforms, absolutely zero. And look, that's a I suppose a steeper learning curve.
Yeah.
But she's really embraced it, and, you know, had to be patient in some regards. But, you know, she's so keen to try new things, look at new things. And of course, being part of Blueprint, there's always new things to be investigating. So, you know, I'll come back from a conference and say, like, well, she's involved in the Tonally Tech, and I'll say, well, there's this and there's this and there's this and there's this that we can look into. So it's been great. She loves learning all that new stuff, and I think that's really important too. It makes things interesting for her that she gets exposed to new things that she can try, learn, just expand her own knowledge. Who doesn't love learning?
Yeah, beautiful. It drives me. So,
Me too.
having Ruby, your digital marketing assistant,
Thank
how has it
you.
impacted your business?
Look, as I said earlier, I couldn't have any, I wouldn't have a business if I didn't have, this digital marketing assistant role. But Ruby's been such a key part of it for quite some time. It's all the back end. I do not have the time nor the skill set to update websites, to physically post social media posts, to manage and automate our CRM, which is Ontraport, so that's quite a meaty beast. And Ruby loves setting up automations and finding new ways of making it easier for me to read information in our CRM. So I can't do that stuff. It's not worth my while learning that stuff either. I learned that a long time ago, that even though I had a marketing background, I don't need to know the finicky detail to be able to do it. There might be advantages with that, but I do not have the bandwidth. So it's critical. I mean, Ruby's full time. There's never not stuff for her to do.
Yes.
So it is business critical, let's say.
And Frances, a question without notice, which I know
Oh,
can be
okay.
challenging, but
Come
let's
on, Brett.
go.
Come on. No.
It just popped up to me for me then.
Sure.
I don't want to generalize, but I will. Visually creative types like yourself,
Yes.
sometimes I find that they can struggle with getting their virtual assistant to support them with visual content for social media because they don't like releasing control, and obviously there's all sorts of ways to manage it. But I'd love to hear your journey through that.
I don't know if I am like that.
Okay.
I love giving Ruby a bit of a free rein. I'll tell you what I'm really particular about, but recently we had to create a new proposal.
Yeah.
So quite embarrassingly, I had proposals presented for years and years and years on Word, knowing that it really needed to look a lot more visually pleasing. Yep, I'm in a creative space. And I said to Ruby, "Do you want to have a crack?" And she said yes. So she got into Canva and she did a really awesome job. And I just let her go with it because she likes creating. So once I know, of course, that she likes doing that stuff, well, why not let her have a go? So these were the elements that I needed. What I'm incredibly pedantic about, and I probably drive Ruby nuts on this, is consistency. Everything has to look like it comes from a family. And this is my brand days. This is back in, everything's got to be, looks like it comes from that particular brand. So I used to do brand management. So I am so anally retentive on consistency. It must drive
Like
everyone nuts.
fonts
But
and colors and things like that.
font, oh no, much more particular than that. The font sizes, how big's the margin? Just really, really pedantic on that sort of stuff. So, and anyway, she did an awesome job on that. And even with things like, and so then it was, okay, so that's our proposal. We like the look of that. Roll that out now into all the other contact points that we have with our customers.
See.
So we have deep dive documents. I want it to look the same. And, it came back to me a couple of times where, the spacing between questions was different. Okay, look at consistency. Came back to me with different fonts, different margins. I said, so I always say, if you lay it out on a table and you put every single document next to each other, do they look they come from the same family? And if they don't, then it needs to go back. So I'm super particular about stuff like that. But she created the that overarching design that we've now pushing out to our other contact points. And with our socials, I suppose the challenge is Ruby's in the Philippines, heavily influenced by American culture. Australia is also heavily influenced by American culture. However, from an interiors perspective, you show me an interiors picture and I will tell you whether it's British, Australian, or American because they are such distinct looks. So I had to train Ruby how to understand that the Australian look is so polar opposite to the American look. And so how do you find photos that replicate an Australian look? Because I am not after anything that looks American that we're representing in our business. We're closer to the English, but that's also a very different look anyway. So that takes time to understand what they may see as aesthetically pleasing is not what Australians are gravitating to. But now, because we've got so many images that we have as our own, of course, we want to promote our own things more than anything else.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And so, how do you communicate with Ruby?
We have multiple contact points. So this is with the team overall. So we have, I just came off before I was meeting with you today. Every Monday morning at 9 o'clock, we have a team check-in. What did you do on the weekend? What'd you get up to? So it's a really quick 15, 20 minute touch base, but it's just, what do we do? We know we'll have a busy week or whatever, but it's just a weekend, let's call it a weekend touch base. We have a weekly one-on-one meeting on Teams. We have lots of communication on Teams. So we use Team for quick questions. There's email, of course. We have video calls. I'm now practicing voice notes. So that's our new point of for me to get things out really quickly. We have 2 weekly team lunches a week. So because I've got another team member that's in Melbourne, so the three of us will get on twice a week and have lunch together, like we're in a cafe, I suppose, but we're not in a cafe. So twice weekly team lunches, and then every 90 days we'll have an informal, I call it the equivalent of a girly catch up. What's working, what's not working, nothing's written down. It is a really, pardon me, open conversation about what's going really well at the moment, what's not. It might touch on personal things, not, but it's just a really informal 90-day catch-up. That's off the EOS system. We run on an EOS structure in our business. So there's lots of contact points.
I love that.
I'm really excited to be able to meet Ruby in person in April because I'm going over to the Philippines. And so I'm just really excited to be able to meet her face to face. We have lots of dog offs. We have our, dogs on our lap. I know we're dog intimately. So it's really nice to have these informal touch bases as well to sort of understand family, what's going on in her social life. It's not just about work, it's really getting to know the whole person. That's why I'm really excited to meet her as well. So I feel we have lots of touch points, particularly when there's a remote structure there, of course.
Yeah, well done. It sounds like your framework for communication is, it's like you said, it's got lots of different layers or touch points to it. And it's also got the personal component as well, which I think is really important.
Yeah, we do. And look, of course, there's the annual formal annual review too, but those 90-day touch-ups, which I only implemented last year, I think are really important. And every team member goes through that too. So I call it the girlfriend catch-up.
I love the imaginative name. So, Frances, what have you learned about yourself through your virtual assistant journey?
Lots. In my previous role as a marketing manager, I had small teams, but I actually had remote teams because I worked in London and my team were in Budapest. So, I was used to working with remote teams, but I think you always learn how to manage a team. That's a never-ending learning process. So I suppose over the years, I've learned more and more. I've learned more around cultural diversity. And look, I had that anyway, living in Europe for 12 years. Like I said, I lived in London. I had a team in Budapest. Now that's a very different cultural base as well. So it's being able to manage culturally as well, not just being able to manage a team. So there's that. And I suppose adapting my style to make the most of my team. Not everyone is gung-ho and extrovert, talkative person like me. I exhaust myself. Exhaust myself. So it's about adapting my style, and also about teaching my team to step up to just voicing their opinions, having the confidence to be able to voice opinions. I'm not a scary person. And that I can't do everything. So there's a lot, it's a continual, like I said at the start. It's a continual journey of learning. And for me, it's about managing different types of people, learning how to get the best out of them. And I'm absolutely not an expert. I'm always learning and I'm always asking them as well what works best for you. So, what have I learned with this journey? All of that, I suppose, and always more too.
And I really agree. I have supported lots of people with this, and I, do it myself day in, day out. But I'm always learning as well. And I say to all of our, clients, I don't need you to be perfect. I just need you to be open to like learning and exploring and, seeing if there is a different way to do things if required. So yeah, I really want to
I think
acknowledge
the,
that on your
yeah,
journey.
oh, thank you. And I think the other thing is, learning as well, and this is for other people out there too, that, okay, I call Ruby my digital marketing assistant, but they're super capable. And generally, they love new challenges. So they might be introverted or whatever it is. But generally, people love new things.
They
But
do.
you've got to find out whether that is their thing that floats their boat, of course. Some people do like to do the same thing day in, day out. But what I've found is with all the VAs I've had, one of the things they've loved about working, I suppose, with White Pebble is there's so much going on. There's so many new things that they can be exposed to because I'm not stuck in a rut and we are forever changing. We're forever doing new things, trying new things on. And if that's the sort of thing that you want to be exposed to, then doing this sort of role is awesome if you've got that sort of employer.
Star, you mentioned that you had worked with a virtual assistant, and I think the word you used was traumatized or something big. And so I'm sure people are wondering, about your journey. Do you want to share a little bit about,
Yeah, sure. I think it was actually my financial advisor from about, I don't know, 9 years ago. I don't exactly know what year it was that was talking about his VA. This is probably in the infancy of when VA started to be a thing in Australia, when people started to use them. And he got me curious. So I used an agency and it was very black and white. Here's a person. We don't really know anything about this person. Here's a person, train them up, zero support. And look, that was okay for a while, but a lot of well, truancy is probably not the right word, but just not turning up. There was just a lot of gaps, and I went to another agency. I found it very similar. Then I also didn't like agencies that I discovered were not treating their staff well, so they were just making huge amounts and really providing no support to the VA or to me. So I thought, well, that's great. You may have a big buffer there, but you're just creaming that and you're not really doing anything else. So, everyone's got to make their money in that. So I just felt that the agencies that I'd been using were not very supportive to either party. They sort of got you someone and, yep, left you to your own devices. I ended up recruiting directly and look, that really bit me on the bum. And yeah, that's probably the trauma I'm still. I just can't believe how much she took advantage of my goodness, and she did it for years, really behind my back, that I wasn't really exposed to. I suspected things were happening, and yeah, I'm still really, really upset at how dishonest she was. And then I realized that I can't go through that again. And so people might think, well, it's going to cost me a lot less to go direct, but gee, it's hard work. And I just thought about all the hours, all the heartache, all the energy that I used. It just it wasn't worth that more cost effective rate in the end. And so, I'll be really honest, when I found Global Teams, it was like, oh, it's a different approach here. It's more about, it's really about people. And I wanted to make sure that my, the people that I were having were being looked after. And I think that that's one key distinction that I see with Global Teams is you don't just recruit and let them go. You're recruiting and you have your Friday night drinks thing or whatever it is, your sessions. There's just this continual support to the VA and to me. And I really have never been exposed to that sort of setup before. And it makes me feel good for my VA. It makes me feel good for me. And as you said, Ruby's in contact with, people in your team to say, how do I go about this or how do I go about that? And it's just such a, it's a really, look, I've spoken really highly about it to many people. I feel it's a real different approach. It's quite niched the way you do it. And makes me feel good that everyone's looked after.
And you've been on quite a bit of a journey, haven't you? Ups and downs and all of that. So I'm glad you've had great success with Ruby and the rest of the team as well. And so
The
what
support's
advice
awesome.
do you have for business owners who are thinking about getting a virtual assistant? So many people out there have been thinking about it, but they haven't done it, and there's some fear. So what advice do you have for them?
Don't worry about not having enough work. So I had this the first time. I don't have enough work to give a virtual assistant. Just go head on into full time. You'll just find things that you can constantly hand over. And people I speak to now, I'm not quite sure if I'm ready to get a VA yet. Of course, once they get one, they realize that there is a lot of things that they can hand over, but be patient with that. That's not going to happen overnight. You need to get used to each other. They need to get used to your way of working. There'll be the cultural thing if they've never worked with Australians before. We're very different sort of culture than Filipino culture. You've got to really understand that. But you will have a lot of work that you'll be able to hand over from, but there is going to be, I would say, at least 3 months, maybe even 6, to really, if you've never had one before, to really build up the rapport, to build up the structure of how you're handing over things and delegating them, giving them ownership and things like that. So be patient, and really get to understand the things they like doing, what they want to be exposed to. I want my staff to be exposed to things that they really enjoy doing. I know that Ruby loves designing stuff in Canva, so I give her more stuff to do in that. And look, this is, yeah, that probably be the key things. They're the number one thing that I have people talk to me about. Oh, I don't know if I'm ready yet. I don't know if I've got enough work. You will have enough work. You just got to be patient with that handover time, and not expecting them to be able to read your mind. You've got to be able to communicate with them and have regular contact. Don't have all this check-in time with them at the start and then you never speak to them again for 3 months. You've got to have that regular contact. Make them feel like they're part of the team.
Yeah, for sure.
That'd be my ones.
And that's really sound advice. Whenever anyone reduces their contact, and then they come to me going, "Oh, it's not working." I'm like, "Have you guys spoken recently?" Like,
It's
so.
imagine having a relationship and you sort of, you touch base with them once every 3 months. Yeah, I wouldn't be feeling the love.
That's a good analogy.
Feel the love. You gotta, yeah.
So Frances, you've written a book, Your Forever Home, and you're been generous and willing to give a copy of that to the members, the people who are listening to the podcast. So tell me a little bit about your book.
So the book was created off clients asking me, how do I prepare myself for a renovation or new build? I don't know what I don't know. So I went, tootling off to find a book that I could refer them to, and I realized that there wasn't one. There was an American one. The way people build and the terminology even in America is so different to here. So I thought, okay, there's an opportunity. I'll go and write this book. So I did that, and it was in 2017 I wrote that book. It's just been re-released, and so if you are, it's not a coffee table book. There aren't any pictures in there. It's to highlight, doggy, write in the margins. It's a real how to get stuck in sort of book. So yeah, you can get a copy of that digitally, the first three chapters of that digitally, at the White Pebble Interiors website,
Beautiful. And I'll
and I'm
pop the
sure you'll
link
have the
in the show
in the
notes.
show notes. Yeah.
And so, Frances, how can people contact you?
They can go to my website, so whitepebbleinteriors.com.au. You can actually book a chat with me directly from there. You can also find me on all the socials under White Pebble Interiors, and my phone number is available on the website as well. So you can do the old-fashioned
Pick
phone.
up the phone radically,
Pick up
say.
the phone. I always talk to people. I love talking to people. So sometimes people will email me, or they will book a chat, or just pick up the phone. Whatever suits your communication style.
Go. There's many ways. So, Frances, I've really enjoyed the conversation with you today. I love hearing about your journey to where you are now, your multi-touch points communication style, how you don't use the term virtual assistant, and the advice you've given to people listening. Do you have any final words?
I don't think so. Like I can always keep going, but no, I don't have any final words. I think you already asked me the question around, if people are doubting or thinking it's not quite the right time. I think we always, it's like having a baby. When is ever the right time, right? I think you'll always find a way. It's not quite the same analogy, but there'll always be work. You'll always find a way and then end up wondering why I didn't do it sooner. So
Yeah.
it's been lovely chatting to you today, Carmen, too.
Well, thank you so much.